Music City, Nashville, Tennessee. Two verses and a chorus shy of a hit song. Here they are. It's Scott and it's Hino.
And the Music Road Show.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Music Row Show. We're so happy you're listening in.
Yes, we are. Thanks for hanging out with us. We'd love for you to join in the conversation. Log on to facebook.com/TheMusicRowShow and chat alongside with us.
Yeah, and you can also find us on Twitter at The Music Row Show. And then after the show, we'll put some pictures up on Instagram at The Music Row Show as well.
Where's our Instagram guy? Because I didn't see any pictures from last week.
You know what? I think you should fire him.
I'm going to do that. I got to figure out what's going on with him.
Now, listen, hey, in case you haven't heard.
What?
I know. People are getting sick of us talking about this, but all you Dish subscribers out there, you can now watch us on Blue Highways TV because Blue Highways TV is now on Dish.
That's right. You can watch us four times a week on Channel 73 all over the country. And for the first time ever, you know, we've actually been on TV for about 3 years, but never in Tennessee. So finally, we're on TV in Tennessee.
Woohoo!
I know.
Yeah,
very exciting.
Poor audience.
I know. Well, come on now. No, because they get to see great people.
Like I know, Alyssa.
And Hino, tell us about this lovely woman with the amazing hat.
It's a great hat. Well, we're really excited to have one of the fastest rising recording artists and songwriters here in Music City, Alyssa Bonagura, is joining us here right now. Alyssa's been at it here on Music Row since the age of three. I mean, she performed on the Ralph Emery Show when she was three, had her first tour with Marty Stewart when she was 13. And in addition to the songs that she writes for her own projects, her own albums, she's had cuts by artists like Jody Messina. Mm-hmm. She's got the brand new Jana Kramer single,
Circles,
which is a great song. I heard her play it last night. Great job. And Alyssa is the 2015 Ontario Country Music Association Songwriter of the Year for her song I Only Smoke When I Drink for a great band called
Small Town Pistols.
Yeah. That's what it was. And she's got a brand new project that's about to be released, and we've got a super secret copy that we're going to be playing some stuff off of tonight. So we're thrilled to be able to say, Alyssa Bonagura, welcome to the
Thank
Music
you
Row
for
Show.
Having
Yay!
Me.
Yay! I only flirt when I'm drunk. And I'm drunk. Oh, that's a great song.
Oh, man. That's we actually wrote that pretty drunk on wine and ate a lot of cheese. And
your mom's listening right now.
I know. She was there.
She was pouring.
Wine.
She was pouring.
That was so much fun. It was actually the Small Town Pistols are, they used to be the Wilkinsons.
Okay.
And now it's just Tyler and Amanda, and they're so amazing. And me and Amanda and Tyler and Patricia Conroy, we're all sitting outside. And we wrote that song and just having a good time, you know? That's what good songs are made of, I guess.
Sweet. That is nice.
So, and then it was Song of the Year. It's pretty cool.
That's very cool. That is very cool.
My first award.
Yay. So not many people your age, young, for example, you know, that's what I'm saying. She's young.
I'm 27.
You're a young girl. Yep. Can look back at 27 and say, gosh, what a life I've had.
I know.
Because you've done a ton. I mean, what are some of the earliest memories? And again, I don't know if you mentioned this, but Alyssa's mom and dad were Bailey and the boys.
They still are.
Yeah.
So
that's her folks. So, you know, you spent a lot of time on the road with mom and dad. So what are your earliest memories about life on the road?
Oh, man. Probably like, you know, falling asleep to the sound of the harmonies in the bus. That was like my favorite, you know. But I was like 3 weeks old on the road and completely a road baby. And, you know, I used to like skate around in all the flight cases with the wheels in the backstage, like up and down the hallway. And I used to like wake up all the guys on the bus. They hated me all the time because I was just like running down the hallways of the bus,
hitting them. Hitting all the curtains.
Waking them up with the curtains. So, yeah, it was a really fun life, though. And, you know, music 24/7. And my mom was like playing guitar basically the entire time she was pregnant. So it was
definitely reverberating.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Into you.
Totally. Yeah.
So basically, you were kind of doomed to a life of music.
Totally.
I mean, you were trained from an early age. I heard you were writing love songs at like eight.
Yeah.
Like, what does an 8-year-old know about love songs? I mean, what kind of reaction did you get from your family at the time coming up with these?
I don't know, man. You know, I think I've always been an old soul. It's so weird. I've always had like, you know, dreams of writing songs like that. But I also loved listening to the radio as a kid, and that's kind of all I listened to. And there's always great love songs on the radio, you know. So,
yeah.
you know, everybody wants to be loved, right? So that was kind of like my, what started every song of mine, you know, ever since I started writing songs.
Sweet.
I know, really, you're going to argue with her about everybody wants to be loved?
Like, no, not really.
No. Now, everybody wants to be loved. Not everybody wants to love someone.
Oh, that's what it is.
But everybody wants to get it.
Totally.
Everybody wants to receive it.
Music love, you know, makes the world go round, right?
Oh, that's right.
Let me write that
Unless
down.
You're, you know, Mr. Loveless Cafe here is what I'm saying. Yeah. So you're getting cuts and TV placements before you graduate high school. Is that a true statement?
Yes, I was getting, I was on a an ABC family show called Switched, where you switch your life with someone totally different from you. Mm-hmm. And I was like singing on that show, and I like went to Miami, and I like had this life as a salsa dancer, and and this girl, Mariel, had this life like singing at the Bluebird. And so I was doing that in high school, and it's crazy, man. I've just always, I guess I've always been like a mover and a shaker. I just love making music, and I love
Well, you'd have to be
creating
to be a salsa dancer.
Yeah,
how did that go? Did you have a knack for it?
I grew up dancing too, actually. Like I started like the dance team at my high school, and it was like a big thing for me. I was in theater.
Father Ryan.
I was like a total
shout out.
Art person. Father Ryan. Whoop, yeah, whoop, I went to Father Ryan. Yeah. I grew up in Nashville, basically. Mm-hmm. But that's what's so cool about like country music on when they play. You know, it's normally on the weekends. So I kind of went to school during the week and then hopped on the bus at midnight at, you know, on Friday night and went out on the road and ended up in like New Mexico somewhere with my parents. It was fun.
Well, you know what? I'm going to skip forward to something because high school, let's talk about high school for a minute. Even Father Ryan, which is a great school.
Yeah.
But it's really a strange social experiment with cliques. And most of these cliques are based on the kids that are in the school's typically very small knowledge base.
Yeah.
Whereas you are on the weekends, during summer break, during fall break, spring, you are traveling the world.
Totally.
You're seeing things that
most, other kids aren't seeing. Yeah.
Most of your teachers haven't even experienced, much less the students. I mean, how does that knowledge and that worldview, does that make it easier or harder to navigate through the day-to-day high school? You know, the things that are so important. In high school, when you're seeing so many other things around you,
it was really hard for me in high school because I was like the odd duck, you know, and people made fun of me for wearing like weird things. When Father Ryan, we had to wear uniforms, but like on the days we didn't have to, you know, I was just different. I was just like eclectic, and you know, I would like buy fringe boots in New Mexico and bring them back to Nashville and be like, well, what are those, you know? So I don't know. I mean, it was really tough, but you know, the one thing that really saved me was my music and my guitar and dancing and art and theater. And you know, the cliques were tough, and we would always like put on like, you know, benefits and stuff for the school. And I remember Vince Gill came and did a couple of those for us, and my parents used to tour with Vince, and I've known him since I was little. And so it was just weird, you know, for other people to kind of realize that. But to me, they're just normal human beings. You know, I grew up around Reba McEntire and George Strait and all those people, and they were just normal to me, normal people.
Right.
So for me, it was just like, how come, you know, I'm not different. I just play music.
So you're up on, so Vince is on stage at this benefit. Does he call you out, or does he do anything to bring attention to you right there?
Well, no, I mean, no, but I've gotten the great pleasure to sing with him a couple times, and that's just I don't know, my life has been really blessed, you know, with just music 24/7 and all kinds.
What's weird is that you obviously you've got a thing for hats. You've
I
got
do.
This
I love
awesome
hats.
Hat on.
Love
But I hear that George Strait kind of terrorized you at one point with his hat. So tell us about that story.
Well, my mom, I was too young to remember this. My mom will tell you that George Strait, you know, he was like, he still is total honk, King George.
King George,
you know?
Yeah.
And I was the only girl that I guess didn't like to be held by George. So every time he held me, I cried. And he had this massive hat on. So I think he came up to my mom and was like, I think maybe my hat scares her or something. And so ever since then, I think I've just loved hats.
Aha! Uh-huh. It's George's fault.
Reason. It's George's fault.
I don't want you to feel weird because I've cried every time George has held me.
Yeah, so has he, which is kind of scary.
It wasn't the hat. I'm just allergic to that cologne, but I don't want to get into that.
So this is amazing. We mentioned this in the intro. You got a full ride scholarship to Paul McCartney's Liverpool School of Performing Arts,
yep,
or Institute of Performing Arts, and you got a degree in sound technology, which, yes, is awesome. So how did that come about, and what exactly did you learn doing sound technology?
So basically, my dad started this this little studio up in our attic, which wasn't finished at the time. It was,
right,
like this, you know. And he had, like, you know, odds and ends of gear and, like, a board and a couple things and, like, a mini disc recorder. And and I was writing these songs, like, in middle school. And I remember I wrote this song about the World Trade Center because we were actually in school while, like, watching it happen.
Sure,
and
right.
Everyone was just so devastated. And I went home that day and I wrote a song about it. And the first thing I did was record on this, like, you know, 8-track mini disc recorder. And I put down all my parts on it. And I think ever since then, I've just been totally into producing and recording. And I've just always been that kind of person where I have all these ideas in my head and I have to get them out. And so I went to the Paul McCartney School because a friend of mine who's from Liverpool that lives here, who's married to Ray Kennedy, the amazing producer. Her name's Siobhan Kennedy. She's an amazing singer, artist.
They have a great studio, too.
Yeah, they do. And she was we were at a party one night. I think it was like a Christmas party my junior year in high school. And she says, "Mate, where do you go into college?" And I was like, "I don't know, you know, maybe Berkeley or something." But I didn't really want to go for like academic stuff because I knew I wanted to make music. And if I, you know, didn't get into school, I just wanted to do music full time.
Right.
So she said, "Well, you have to go to the Paul McCartney School. You need to check it out like tomorrow and check it, you know, sign up." And so I signed up. I
That's
auditioned.
A brilliant, brilliant accent too.
Cheers, mate. Cheers. I lived there for 3 years and like no one understood me. So I had to like completely, you know, put on the accent and be like, "Mate, I need a cab." but yeah, it changed my life and it was amazing 3 years. And it's a complete conservatory for music and arts and dance and acting and everyone works together. So it was kind of like where I was a little bit of an odd duck and Father Ryan as like the musician there. I was just like, we were all the same and we all did the same things and we all worked together. And it was just amazing. And Paul McCartney gave me my diploma.
Well, can't beat
How
that.
How cool is that? Every year to give, to hand out the diplomas. And it was his old elementary school and they were going to knock it down. And he decided to save it and turn it into a performing arts college.
No, wow. Kidding. So sound technology, is that basically, you know, all the engineering and that kind of thing?
Yeah, all the engineering, all the production. I totally learned how to do radio stuff. So this is super
good.
Fun.
Maybe you could teach us a thing or two. I just got fired.
No, so it was really fun. I was the only girl in my class. It was a class of all boys and me, and there was another girl, but she kind of left. And so, yeah. So.
How do you kind of leave?
I don't know. She was there for like a year, and then I just never saw her. I don't know what happened, but I stuck it out.
Sweet. Sorry to monopolize this, but tell us about your first assignment. I heard that was kind of freaky.
My first assignment
with the London Symphony.
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, that was not my first. It was actually, that was my mom. You know, she makes up these stories. But but it was.
I did spend time with her.
But it was really scary. It was, we had to, like the London, it was actually the Liverpool Philharmonic Orchestra was playing. And they're like incredible, right? And so our assignment was to go in and record them. And I was like in with like three other people and we had to record this entire symphony. It was pretty nuts. And
so in that case, are you more concerned with recording the room than recording each individual?
That's kind of what the whole assignment was to see how you do it and how you record certain things and where you place the mics. And it was really funny because I was like really listening. I was using my ears because I'm really not a technical person. I'm really just an ear person. And and the guys that I was working with were really technical. And so the guys were like, no, the microphone's got to be here and it's got to be 4 inches away from that violin and like all these things. And I was like, well, why don't we just put it and see where, see if it sounds good and we'll move it, you know, on the fly.
If it doesn't. Yeah,
because you can't actually move anything when they're playing. Like you have to set it up and go. So, it was pretty crazy. But I got an A, so that was good.
Well, then I guess, did the other guys get Fs?
No.
Yeah, okay.
No, but, you know, but the whole concept was to really use your ears. And that's kind of, they've guided me through my whole life, you know, learning how to play guitar and piano and stuff like that. I've always played by ear.
All right. So, that's great.
Yeah.
Sweet. Let's take a break. We need to let folks know that this segment is brought to you by our friends at Toyota of Cool Springs.
That is so true.
And we've talked about them for months about how cool they are and all the cool things they do at Toyota, because we both drive Toyotas.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. But now they've bought a whole nother dealership, too.
That's right. The Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram. I think there's a couple of other names.
I think those are it.
Yeah,
I think it's
okay.
Those four.
So they bought that dealership. So the same great service
in
you get over at Toyota of Cool Springs, now you can get at Franklin, Dodge, Chrysler, Toyota, Jeep, Ram, Place.
That's it.
With all those names.
We got to get the name. But they do the warranty, lifetime warranty.
Yeah, that's right. Three-day exchange policy
if you buy something and your wife doesn't want you to have it.
Oh, yeah, that happens. That happens. Yeah. But most of all, they're just super laid back. They're super cool. George is the owner over at Toyota of Cool Springs and now at the other dealership as well. Go ask for him. He'll take great care of you. You'll find Toyota of Cool Springs at where else? ToyotaofCoolSprings.com. We're going to be back with a whole lot more of Alyssa Bonagura here on the Music Row Show. Come on back. Welcome back to the Music Row Show. That's Alyssa Bonagura, and that's off her brand new, yet-to-be-released project. That's a song called Coming Up from the Underground. I love that.
Thanks,
that's
man.
Got a great groove. Now, did you do a bunch of engineering on that yourself as well?
So I did the whole record with my really good friend, Mark Patachia.
Okay.
He did, he's worked on a lot of different records, but he did the first Jason Isbell record,
okay.
Southeastern, and he really helped me with everything, and he engineered it. It was really fun for me to like just be the artist and the producer as well, and kind of get to play everything and not have to think about where I was putting the mics.
Yeah, right. Leave and, the knobs to somebody else.
Yeah, and he's just brilliant, and his sounds are incredible. And I was introduced to him by my boyfriend Graham, and I had actually known him for years, but I hadn't ever known what he had done. And so, we made the record in like 15 days, and. Wow. Played everything live, and there's like no auto-tune on it or anything.
Nice. I love that.
It's all very real. It's really real. And all my friends played on it. I played a lot of stuff on it. And I'm really stoked about it.
Well, shout out to Graham, too, because I met him last night. Great band, Tyler Bryant and The Shakedown. I listened to a bunch of them today. And
yeah.
They're really awesome. Check them out.
And they're playing on November 12th. At the Basement East.
Sweet.
So you guys should check that
we
out.
We shall do it.
Very nice. I'm going to back us back up into Liverpool for one question. What did those 3 years at that adventure do for you creatively that you think you might have missed had you gone to Berkeley or stayed here and gone to Belmont or something like that?
You know, I learned a lot about myself as I kind of figured out who I was living there. You know, I'm an only child, and I'd been with my parents pretty much my whole life on the mm-hmm. road, and so this was like a huge step. My mom actually like kept the acceptance letter for me for like a couple months because she didn't want me to go.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I know. And I was like, how could you
mom.
Do this? I know. But it ended up being because you actually grow closer to your family when you're far away, because you just have a different relationship, you know. But I made my first record there by myself in my room with like one mic in my at this apartment where it actually used to be like a maternity hospital, and John Lennon was born at this place, and they
really?
Turned it into like apartments. Yeah. So, I recorded this record called The English Diaries, and it was about my time there and missing home and falling in love and falling out of love and being in a different country. And it was just, it was really, really, really great experience for me.
So your college was in Paul McCartney's elementary school.
Yeah.
And your apartment was in John Lennon's birthing place.
Yeah, it's weird, right?
That is wild.
And the grocery store she used to shop in, Ringo Starr went to all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
It's
crazy.
Just that town is a lot like Nashville, where like whenever you get off the plane here and you like are in BNA, like you walk and you're like, wow, this is like musical. Like there's like a vibe here,
mm-hmm.
and it's the same vibe in Liverpool when you get out on the train and you're like in the city. It's so similar to Nashville.
Really?
People are really nice, and it's great. Everybody loves music.
Sweet. Well, you have a great song called Make My Own Sunshine.
Thanks.
And you did it last night. Great job.
Thank you.
But I understand that song almost didn't get finished.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's a good thing it did, though. So tell us about that story and what happened to it when you did finish it.
Yeah, so a friend of mine, we were walking down the street and it was raining, like it does basically every day in Liverpool, especially in Liverpool. It's like really cold all the time and rainy and misty and like it's horrible. And she said, "It's all right, Alyssa, we make our own sunshine." And I thought, wow, that's a great idea for a song. And so I came home that night and I wrote the chorus and I kind of just like, you know, filed it away in my computer and I just never did anything with it. And when I graduated 2009, moved back to Nashville and was working with a manager named Denise Stiff. And she got me this great publishing deal with Rondor Music International. And they heard that song and Denise heard that song. And she said to me, she was like, "Alyssa, you have to finish this song." And I was like, "Really? I mean, it's just a funny little tune that I wrote about me and my friend, you know?" And she said, "No, I really think you should finish this." And then, the publishing company was saying the same thing, "Finish this song." And so, I kind of just finished it jokingly, like just to see what they wanted it for. And it turns out they wanted it for an ad, for a Lowe's commercial. And it was, I recorded everything, I produced everything, I mixed everything, played everything, wrote it by myself, and 2 months later, it was on a nationwide Lowe's commercial.
That's
across the
awesome.
Country. Yeah.
Can you play us just a little bit?
It was
bit
also
of that?
On the, like a Yahoo. I watched it today, like a flash mob thing.
Yeah, totally. That was really cool, too. It's amazing. Like, I got some really amazing feedback for that song, which was like, you don't really realize why you write songs when you're writing them until other people kind of listen to them and they, you know, have their own stories. But this woman actually wrote me this beautiful email and I was like crying in the kitchen reading this because it was about her autistic child that like apparently had these really horrible fits. And when my song came on the television, she like stopped having these fits. And
commercial, you mean?
Yeah, in the commercial, she was like watching television one morning and her child was like screaming and then all of a sudden she just stopped and it was my song was on the TV. And she said that she wasn't able to hold her kid for like 2 years. And then as soon as my song played, she was able to like hold her child again. So I was just like weeping.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really amazing, the power of music. And that's real, you know. And these songs come from God or whatever you believe in. You know, they come from the atmosphere. And they're not really like, you know, meant for you at the time. Maybe they're meant for someone else. And so it was really amazing that song just kind of, the journey of that song happened and it kind of showed up when it needed to, you know. But it went like this. Ooh-hoo, I make my own sunshine. Ooh-hoo, I make my own sunshine. Hey, let's make a rainbow. Look for the pot of gold. I'll show you how to keep it nice and easy. And even if a cloud starts forming on my lovely day, there's nothing, no nothing that could stand in my way. 'Cause it don't matter if it's raining, nothing can faze me. I make my own sunshine. And if you think you can break me, baby, you're crazy. I make my own sunshine. Ooh-ooh, ooh-ooh, I make my own sunshine. Ooh.
Yay.
Yeah.
I love that. I want to go hang blinds right now or something. I want to do something around my house. I don't know why.
I need some drywall mud now.
Now.
Oh. You want a garden?
Yeah, yes. A garden, something, something. So how did the flash mob thing come about? Because you're out there dancing and stuff, right?
Yeah, this Yahoo, it was actually like a...
Some Yahoo,
no. This thing for Yahoo, I can't remember what the actual name of it was, but it was this... Oh, Yahoo Surprises is what it was.
Right.
And it was like this guy wanted to propose...
Birthday.
It was a birthday. That's right. It was her 50th birthday. And this is like 2012, so it was a couple years ago. I'm trying to remember. And so we sang and we did this whole flash mob and we surprised her on her birthday and we sang that song. So it's brought a lot of sunshine to people, and that's all you could ever hope for as a singer-songwriter is to just, you know, touch people with your music. You know?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And a check.
And a check.
And a check.
And a check.
Those help too.
Yeah. Well, I know we just had you do that, but would you like to play us something that you feel like playing?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Okay.
Sure.
That is a beautiful guitar, by the way.
Thanks. It's a Gretsch Sweet 16 acoustic. And
There we go.
There we go.
You get it? Mm-hmm.
Now we are.
There we go. Okay. So I'll play this new song that it's kind of the whole start of the record, basically, of my new record. It's called The Road Less Traveled, and I think I'm going to name the whole record after this one song. And I had a publishing deal this past year, and I've had a publishing deal since I actually graduated from college, and this was like the first time that I really just wanted to like do my own thing and mm-hmm. like just kind of write for myself and take the road less traveled. And that's kind of why I wrote this song and why I started this whole record is I think it's really important to have your team of people that help you, but I also think it's really important to find yourself before you have that team of people to help you, because sometimes you can get really caught up in like not knowing who you are, and everyone's trying to help you find that, and
they have their own ideas.
Yeah, and all of them are good, you know what I mean? And but I think the most important thing is to really find out who you are first, and then kind of, you know, pave your road for you. So that's what I wrote this song about, and that's what the whole record kind of is about. Big old moon, sky full of stars, me and you, and this old guitar, and I know I got some things I gotta do on my way back home. I ain't gonna chase money or fame, I'm just gonna do what makes me smile. If I fall, I'll be the one to blame. I'm gonna take my time with the heart of a child. I don't need to play no one's game. I'm just gonna let my soul unravel me. The sky, the dirt and gravel. Finding myself on the road less traveled. Shadows running from the rain, going down your own road means making mistakes, and I'll either land or learn how to fly on my way back home. Oh, I ain't gonna chase money or fame, I'm just gonna do what makes me smile. If I fall, I'll be the one to blame. Gonna take my time with the heart of a child. I don't need to play no one's game. I'm just gonna let my soul unravel. Need the sky, the dirt and gravel. Finding myself on the road less traveled. Do what makes me smile. If I fall, I'll be the one to blame. I'm gonna take my time with the heart of a child. I don't need to play no one's game. I'm just gonna let my soul unravel. Meet the sky, the dirt and gravel. Finding myself on the road less traveled.
Nice.
Thank you so much.
And that's the first track on your new project?
Yes.
Does it have a title yet?
Road Less Travel.
Road Less Travel. There Perfect. All right. We're going to be back with a whole lot more of Alyssa Bonagura here on the Music Row Show. So come on back. Welcome back to the Music Row Show. I think you were singing My Life there just now. That's a song called Crying. Alyssa Bonagura off her brand new project called Coming Up From the Underground.
Road Less Travel.
Yeah. I was looking at my notes.
But that's a good name, too. Maybe I should change it to that.
Oh, don't listen to me.
Don't change a thing based on us misreading things.
That's just a disaster waiting to happen right now.
We're here with Gary Hannon and...
Oh, man.
Well, I'd love to hear one more song, if you don't mind.
Yeah, man. Yeah, maybe I'll play that Coming Up From the Underground song.
Okay.
Because I wrote it about basically all the music that I'm surrounded by all the time. And I'm so blessed because I have so many talented friends. And we just create all day, all night. We just jam all the time. And we come to each other's shows. And it's a really, really supportive community in Nashville when you're an upcoming singer-songwriter. And so I kind of wrote this about myself when everyone was like, well, so who are you and, you know, what do you have to say, like, musically? And so I kind of wrote, like, all these lyrics. I'm a little bit hippie. I'm a little rock and roll. I got a free spirit with a deep soul. And if you want to know, really want to know what everybody's talking about, it's Coming Up From the Underground. So it's all this music that's just coming up. And that's what the song's about. It goes like this. Lift my dreams and try to stay on down the road. And if the devil comes and I could try to offer you something, you should tell him that you're keeping your soul. I'm a mover and a shaker, just having fun. I ain't got no strings attached. If life is a stage, then baby, I'm a player, just living for the love of the craft. I'm a little bit hippie, little rock and roll. Got a free spirit with a deep soul. If you wanna go dance, take me.
Everybody's talking about If you want to know, really want to know what everybody's talking about, it's the truth seekers, believers coming up from the underground. Girl, coming up from the underground.
Wow. If I didn't know your mom and daddy, I would say you're like Keith Richards and Joni Mitchell's love child or something.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she's way prettier than that would be.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm talking just sonically.
I mean,
sonically.
Can you imagine Keith Richards and no.
Easy, easy. Hey. Joni's beautiful.
Yeah,
yes, she is.
They both
yes,
are.
She is. They're
let's take
Joni's my favorite ever.
Let's take a break and collect ourselves, and we're going to come back with one more segment. Awesome. With Alyssa Bonagura. You're listening to The Music Row Show.
Who says I'm wrong? Who says I'm right? When you're the only thing that's always on my mind. Your finger through. Ooh, baby, yeah, I wanna marry you.
Oh yeah, welcome back to the Music Row Show.
I wanna live.
We're here with Alyssa Bonagura. Ooh, baby, that's her singing I Wanna Marry You. Somewhere out. And I was telling her during the break, I was at a show she was playing last night, and her boyfriend was sitting behind me. I could feel him twitching uncomfortably during that song as all eyes turned to him. You know, 700 people going, oh, that's the guy over there.
Wow. That's a lot of pressure.
That's a lot of pressure, I tell you.
He puts up with it really well.
So I'm just curious with the stuff that you learned over there. No, forget about that.
Yeah,
you got your first major cut. You got Jana Kramer's Circles coming up. How'd you write that song and how'd you get it to her?
Well, I was writing with my very good friend Jeffrey Steele and
That guy.
Yeah. Oh, that guy. He's written a couple things.
Yeah.
And seriously, what an inspiring human being just all around. But I came in actually. I just met my boyfriend and I came in and I wrote it with Jeffrey and this guy named Brandon Hood, who's this young, amazing producer, songwriter. And anyway, walked upstairs to the studio and there was like this sound, like the synth sound, and it sounded like a circle. And we were sitting up there and Jeffrey, I think Jeffrey was the one that was like, hey, it sounds like a circle, right? We should call this Circles. And I was coming at it from like a love perspective because I was like brand new in love with my boyfriend. And so I wrote this whole song with them about that, about falling in love and how it's like a forever kind of thing. And we're surrounded by circles. The earth's a circle. You know, it's like this everything, you know, the ring on your finger when you get married is a circle. And so it was really fun to kind of throw those ideas out. And
lifesavers.
Yeah, lifesavers.
Those are
exactly
circles.
Those are circles. Totally. Eyes are circles. Yep. You know, everything. So we
Scott's looking at me like they are. Even the hole in the middle is a circle.
Yeah. And I actually thought that this song was going to go on my album because we were you know talking about making a record and we had recorded some stuff and actually Jana heard it and she wanted to cut it and so we let her cut it and I'm so glad she did, man.
Absolutely.
It was so cool when someone, you know, hears your song and they relate to it the same way that you did when you wrote it. You know?
Now, being an artist, do you ever like want to like say, no, that's mine?
Totally. I mean, at first I was like, well, I really wanted this to be, you know, on my project, but it's such flattery when an artist of that caliber on a major label, and she's a lovely, lovely soul. And she wrote to me and she said, oh my God, I love your version of this. And she just was really, really sweet. And so it's always an honor to have someone record your song.
It's her new single, is that right?
I don't know yet, actually.
I thought I heard that. Okay, well,
let's hope it is.
You just said she loved your version. And how was it demoed compared to the final cut? Because I heard that the plugger kind of said, the demo's a bit different, but
totally
give it a shot. So how did you guys demo this?
We demoed it like a total pop song. And, you know, I loved Shania Twain growing up. And
sure.
We demoed it like that. And I made like a pop record because I loved NSYNC and Britney Spears and all
that. Is that the Love Hard?
Yeah, Love Hard was like this pop rock record that I made because I was listening to Kelly Clarkson, Alanis Morissette, and all these people. And really wanted to make a pop record. And so anyway, we went in, and that was all Brandon's production. Amazing. And it was really, really fun and really like just in your face pop. And so I can imagine if someone hearing it that's making a country record, they're probably like, why would this doesn't make any sense. But actually it wasn't too different. They just took out the synths, you know, and kind of
threw in a banjo or something.
Well, you know, like it's so cool to hear like all those amazing players, you know, who play on those sessions all the time. I grew up like playing with them, and they were like, my first session I played was with Bob Babbitt, and like, and that was so cool. God rest his soul. He was like one of our dear friends. And those session players are just so amazing. And you learn so much just from being in a room with them. And so when you hear like a song like that come together with those players and that amazing production that Scott Hendricks did in there, and Jana's amazing voice, you just kind of, it all comes together. It's really cool.
Speaking of learning so much from people, talk about, and we're running out of time here shortly, but what have you learned craft-wise from having co-writers like Jeffrey Steele, and you know, without them saying things, but just from being around them, you're picking up craft tips, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, you know, I think it's like, it's really important to go in like fearless to these songwriting sessions, because you know, kind of like I said earlier, it's like I grew up around these famous people, but to me they were just normal. And so when you're writing a song, it's got to come from like such an honest place. So if you go in and you're like, oh, I'm really nervous, I'm writing with like this amazing songwriter, you might inhibit yourself from writing something really great because you're worried, you know, or because there's a lot of pressure. And that was kind of the reason why, like, I had a tough time writing songs for other artists, because I was writing those songs for me. Like, I was writing circles for me. And if I write with an artist, it's different because I get like their vibe, you know. But to go in and be like, oh, I'm gonna write this song for Carrie Underwood, I'm not really good at that, because I'd rather write it from my heart and hope that she connects with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I learned that, but you know, like, Jeffrey's so amazing because he just writes hit after hit after hit every day. Like, and he's so good.
It's really annoying.
He just knows. Yeah. He just knows. And I think the best thing you can take away from people like that is you learn how to craft a song, and you learn that it's got to be real, because he always writes from a real place, you know? And those are the songs that get wings, are the real songs, you know?
Nice. Awesome.
Yeah.
This has been so much fun.
It's been
awesome.
Thanks so much.
New record
me.
Coming out. When's it going
to
come out?
Well, we're trying to find a home for it right now.
Okay.
I would love to be on a label with a team of people that can help, you know, get it out there to the world.
Sure.
So we're shopping.
Being mastered right now, though.
Yeah, Richard Dodd's mastering it on Tuesday.
Nice.
I'm so excited.
How do people find you online?
You can find me at Alyssa Bonagura. It's AlyssaBonagura.
And the same on Twitter, at
Alyssa
Bonagura.
And
also
on
Instagram.
And Facebook and all that stuff. It's Italian, so.
Well, thank you again for coming in. We love it.
Thanks so much for
singing the great songs.
Thanks
and,
for playing my songs.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, we'll be back next week with another great show. So in the
meantime, Max McAnally and Jimmy Fortune.
If you like those guys, which we do, come and check them out. In the meantime, check out themusicrowshow.com, Facebook, The Music Row Show, and also on Instagram and YouTube. We'll see you next week on The Music Row Show.
See ya.